This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
Yes, Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Macca, Tass has gone. He's got another engagement he had to get to. Our next guest is Tony Walker, CEO of Ambulance Victoria. Good morning, Tony.
Morning, Macca. How are you?
Oh, good. You've had a pretty torrid few months, mate.
It's never boring in ambulance, Macca. There's always something going on. It's been a good few months. But look, you know, it's... we get through these things. I think we're still delivering good care to the community, and probably talk a bit about today. We've got some good plans and some excellent funding from government to help us get through that. So
government announced $750 million. A lot of that will go to Ambulance Victoria, a lot to hospitals. I'm a bit challenged by this, Tony. It seems to me that the hospital system, and there's a whole range of reasons, right? I'm not saying everyone's messed up. The hospital system is under enormous stress. Ambulance Victoria's are under enormous stress. You know, GPs, etc. But this is a year and a bit on from the start of COVID. So where do we, you know, this money's going to take a long time to flow through. The challenges that Ambulance Victoria, and I mean, I know you can't really speak of other challenges in the health system, the challenges Ambulance Victoria face are pretty huge, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, Macca. And I think we just had to look at last year. I think, you know, prior to COVID, we were seeing increasing demand, as has always happened. And then we've had COVID last year that changed our world. We came out of lockdown last year. We were pretty, we knew there's catch up on elective surgery, things that need to happen. But I don't think anyone, and I've been challenged by this by a few people, none of us saw that this big demand that's come out of it. And, where we've seen people who had deferred care who are now presenting sicker in the community, so they're calling us. People are not necessarily feeling comfortable seeing their GP, or some GPs won't see people with respiratory problems without a test. And so they revert to us as their primary health care at that time, or the emergency departments. We have seen sicker people. We're going to sicker people, so they're not suitable for our secondary triage, so we're having to take more people to hospital. And the hospitals are seeing the same things and having to, because of the sicker patients, they're staying in hospital longer, which has this flow issue. So, it is a challenge for us. We saw demand start increasing post-lockdown last year and immediately put on close to 300 paramedics and 60 I inducted yesterday, another 60 coming in a few weeks' time to try and help manage some of this demand. We shouldn't underestimate, and I know you'd appreciate this, the impact last year had on our workforce.
And
our workforce have come out the back of last year and are exhausted and tired, and they're making different decisions. They don't want to come to work more than they have to. When previously we'd surge using overtime and say, no, I'm not interested in that. I want to spend time with my family. And there's increased sick leave as well because people are tired. So all those things come together. It's a bit of a perfect storm. And we found ourselves in the situation we're in today. We've been doing some work, but we needed more. And that's why I'm very pleased that government's committed to this $759 million, which is now starting now. So the next 60 paramedics starting on board.
So we've seen, and not going to revisit it really, but the Verioc inquiry into bullying and other issues at Ambulance Victoria. And we've seen, and I was sent this during the week, and a lot of people have asked me about this, the Swinburne report, in terms of the surveys and the questions with paramedics. And some of these figures, I know you would have looked at it, Tony, but...
Yes, I have, of course.
Do you feel worn out at the end of the working day? 59% of paramedics say they are. You know, their faith, in the system and their ability to cope. You know, their mental health. I don't need to tell you the levels of sick leave and downtime. I appreciate there's a lot of money being put in, and look, I am not holding you responsible. I'm saying there's something not working here, Tony. There's something not working. That the paramedics, you know, according to this survey, they are a deeply disaffected and impacted workforce. So, you know, what do you as CEO and the board of Ambulance Victoria, how are you going to address this? Because this is, I'm sorry, but this seems to me, you've got a, you know, there's a real, real problem here. You've got a workforce that is totally disconnected.
Yeah, the issues raised in that report are not surprising to us, Mac. When you think that report was done in the height of last year in 2020, right at the time our staff, you know, last year just fundamentally changed their world in the sense of their all the issues we all faced around our families and other things in the lockdown and et cetera. Every day they were going out having to respond in full PPE to every patient in circumstances that they couldn't provide the treatment they would normally provide because we had to modify protocols to protect them and the community. So all of those things came together last year in a way. Now, I take a bit of a step back because it's important to recognise we negotiated an industrial agreement with the workforce prior to COVID coming in, and it came in during last year. But that was a very collaborative, supported, no industrial action agreement that we worked through that improved the workplace for our staff and a lot of work and flexibility and things like that. So those things tell me that we were on the right track. And then COVID came and it completely disrupted our workforce and the way they feel. And that survey was done at that time. And I know the authors of that work rightly have said it's not getting better because 21 wasn't this proof piece where you come out of COVID and everything's back to normal. We've come out of the back of COVID into this phenomenal increase in demand. Impacts all of our staff, impacts their ability to get off on time, to get fed on time, all of these things. And that's why, you know, we've been working with government over the past few months, in addition to the work I mentioned before, to say, look, we need more resources to help address this and don't just give us more ambulances. You know, that's often the simple solution. What government have done here, and I think is a very sensible approach, is, you know, funding more ambulances but increasing significantly our secondary triage areas so we can start managing more and more of those patients who don't need ambulances. Working with hospitals to help improve their flow because that's where fundamentally a lot of the issues are. And as you said, I can't speak to hospitals, but Christine Kilpatrick, the CEO of Royal Melbourne, yesterday talked about these issues, the front door and the back door. They can't get people in the front door because they can't get them out the back door quickly enough, and that's a whole lot of systemic issues that drive it. So you are right. Our workforce is impacted. We recognise that. We have been working very hard to try and address it, and I think, you know, a big fundamental part of that is to actually get them back out doing the job they do, having more of them out there to help each other do it and ensure that they're able to therefore get, you know, as we improve performance, you increase downtime, you increase availability, you increase the ability to get off on time, you increase their meals. Those are fundamental things that actually every employee wants in their workplace. And that will help start rebuilding some of this work. Berioc as well. You know, that work is going very well, I'm told. I mean, we have no involvement in it. It's obviously completely at arm's length. But, you know, our staff are engaging in that actively, and I have absolute expectations that will give us a very clear roadmap on other work we need to do to change in the coming months and years ahead.
Look, I do hope it's right. And I actually, you know, I when I tweeted yesterday one of the questions that I had for you, and interestingly, I've had four separate emails about the role of clinicians in the communication centres and how that's under review and the role that they play. Can you really briefly, you know, paramedics are concerned about clinicians potentially being taken out of the comms centre. Is that to get them back on road? Or
No.
What's the reason?
So there is a review of the clinician model within communication centres. What we've recognised, and some of this funding will be allocated to increasing the number of staff in our communication centres because they're under the pump. They're taking managing the ESTA relationship, managing flow and patient secondary triage, etc. So there is need for more staff in our communication centre, and this funding will be provided to support that. That's a critical element of what we're doing. we are reviewing the clinician model as well to ensure our staff can get access to clinicians statewide when they need them. So we've got clinicians running out of both Ballarat and Melbourne. What we want to do is look at the model to ensure that our staff can get access to clinicians when they need it, and there is sufficient to do that. So they have been under the pump, there's no doubt about that, and they're feeling the same pressure as all of our staff on radar as well. And often when things are under pressure, they're managing the system. That's their job, and to do that. And so they clearly need more resources to help them do that, and that's what this funding will be allocated to.
Okay. Look, you know, this is an issue that I am passionate about, and I wouldn't want to be you. Look, you know, I recognise, you know, how difficult the job is. I admire the way you do it. COVID has challenged all of us, and look, there's a couple of statistics in this Swinburne report, Tony, that really concern me. How frequently do you think about getting out of being a paramedic? Right? 58% are between sometimes and always. Now, that's retention is key, not just, you know, for the good health outcomes but, you know, that concerns me. And, you know, the same number in other career opportunities that I know the government's providing a lot of money. I know you're doing a lot of work. I know the union, you know, is heavily involved in this. If you had a wish list, Tony, what would you put on it? What is the, you know, what do you think the one thing, apart from the, you know, the inquiry and the extra money and all this, what else needs to happen, Tony, to make this better?
Fundamentally for me, Macca, the number one thing is to get our paramedics back out there doing the job they love. And so at the moment, they're spending time at hospitals managing patients for longer than we want. And so they're not out there doing the job they want, and they're not getting the chance to recuperate, to recharge in between jobs as they would historically do. That's the thing we need to do, because that fundamentally starts getting back to you. I understand why our staff would be saying, particularly in the peak of the pandemic last year, was this the job for me?
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, they're now under different pressures than they were last year. So, no, that's the fundamental thing for me. If we can get people back to having, you know, capacity in the system by addressing these issues, then, you know, we've got time to train people. Their managers can be available to support them rather than having to be managing patient flow and health services, yeah, et cetera. That's the stuff for me that's fundamental. Then you've got the opportunity to build those other things on top of that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Tony, we're out of time. I do look forward to having you visit us at the Pride Centre.
I look forward to it.
In the very near future. And, you know, I'm sorry for being a little bit tetchy this morning, but when I read this report, some of those figures really concern me. I know they concern you. I know it concerns paramedics. Look, everyone should be concerned, you know, but we've got to find a way through this. And otherwise, one of the best ambulance systems in the world isn't going to serve the community the way we want and look after the employees and get the public health outcomes that we all want.
Absolutely agree with you, Mac. I couldn't agree more.
So thanks again, Tony. Be looking forward to speaking to you again real soon, and I hope you have a good rest of your Saturday.
Thanks so much, Mac. Take care.
Cheers.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.